in a world of mindless movie cliches. One podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
Haven't the slightest idea.
Just the greatest attraction the House of Horrors ever had, that's all. One of them's a coffin containing the remains of the original Count Dracula, and the other's the body of the Frankenstein monster. Guess that combination's enough to scare the pants, shirt right off your back.
Hello and welcome to VHS Rewind Halloween Horror Edition. I have my co-host, Chris Hassler, on the line. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Abbott!
You know what I'm noticing in this one? And I don't know if it's a trend. He goes, uh-huh. Are you catching it? He did it right in this. He makes this, I'm just going to play it then. I'm going to go back just a second. It's coming up right here. The what? Did he always do that?
He always has some sounds going on.
Yeah. All right. It reminds me of a particular actor, and I'll bring him up in a bit because I'm forgetting his exact name.
So I got to start off right away. I know you're going to upset me with the answer to this question. Are you an Abbott and Costello fan?
I don't dislike them. I don't dislike them.
So we're New York based when we were growing up. So every Sunday morning at 11:30 on WPIX, you didn't watch the Abbott and Costello movie that they always showed.
I've never been the biggest Abbott and Costello fan. I was more of a Three Stooges type of person. But even that, I don't know. There was something about the humor that didn't resonate with me as a kid. I don't know.
I wonder, it's shocking to me that like kids today or adults today, they don't know who Abbott and Costello is. And that's such a crime.
My kid does. This is actually one of his favorite Abbott and Costello movies. And as I got older, I really appreciated Abbott and Costello more and more. I think that one of the things I really like about it is the overall look of all of their films. They're very clean, and they're kind of really rehearsed and done well. As a kid, I just didn't really watch it very much.
They are a great comedy team. I think they're a great comedy team.
Yeah, I think so.
My favorite. Absolutely my favorite.
Now, the sound that I was talking about with Costello was reminding me of a Wheeler and Woolsey thing where this guy makes a rah-rah all the time. It's almost kind of annoying, really.
Wait, I have to look up, what is Wheeler and Woolsey?
They're one of these pre-code comedy teams that they were really, really big, and then they kind of vanished.
Wow, I have no, I have never seen these guys before.
Yeah, they're
maybe,
around.
Maybe that old guy.
The guy looks like George Burns.
Yeah. Okay, I was just saying. Well, nobody knows Abbott and Costello. I don't know Wheeler and Woolsey.
Yeah, I mean, they were huge.
Do people know W.C. Fields? Do they know Shirley Temple? Like, nobody shows their kid Shirley Temple anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think Shirley Temple is one of those kind of – she was such a media treasure that without that media push, it kind of falls flat a little bit. You don't think
so? Yeah, I honestly – I don't get the appeal of Shirley Temple.
But it was you know, it was like the Britney Spears thing. Like, you look back and I was like, what's the big deal about Britney Spears? But it was the phenomenon of the media being in love with her and the other tramp. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Now, I do like this movie a lot. The movie we're talking about is Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Classic.
It is a classic. You know, all of their meets movies, like Meet the Invisible Man, The Mummy, I know they're of varying degrees of how good they are, but I love them all. I mean, every single one has funny bits in it that the whole movie keeps me smiling, even if it's not a great movie. But this one is the shit. I mean, this is wall-to-wall physical comedy, you know, audio comedy in terms of their dialogue together, physical reactions. I mean, it's just everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I never – this is like one of those movies, like Airplane is another movie I can watch a zillion times in a row, and I will always laugh.
Well, this is a beautifully done movie. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It was also done right because Universal did this movie, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, they own the rights to these, you know, to Dracula and Frankenstein, the Wolfman. So they're able to do it right without any type of issue. The animation in it, I do just want to mention, it was done by our favorite Woody Woodpecker artist, Walter Lantz.
You mean when Dracula turns into a
No, this
bat?
Opening, the opening.
Opening.
Oh, throughout it. But yeah, especially with the bat thing, which I thought was kind of cool, actually, for the time.
That looks great today. Mm-hmm. I will take that over any CGI you throw my way. I will say that bat transformation is incredible.
Yeah, I agree with you. It you know, 1948 is when this came out, and obviously you're not watching a movie with real vampires, right? And it's almost as though in today's movie we need to make things so real and so realistic, but they take away the magic of it and just kind of, well, let's not forget that the vampires aren't real. You know, it's okay to have it be a little bit fake, I think.
I hear you. And shot in black and white, like gorgeous black and white.
I did want to mention two things about this. I think this is the first black and white movie you and I will be reviewing together. Unless there was a... I don't think we ever did Manhattan.
No, are we going to do that? I hope we do a Woody Allen.
Oh, you know what? Maybe after Halloween, you want to just do a stream of Woody Allen movies. I love those movies. Manhattan, Annie Hall is one of my top favorite movies of all time.
It is?
Yeah, Annie Hall. I love it.
I for some reason thought you were anti Woody Allen.
No way. I mean, I've loved Woody Allen. I love Woody Allen as much as I love Bill Cosby. I love all those pedos. You can't bring me down. I even went to see Woody Allen play and perform years ago. It was back in the '90s.
What is clarinet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I would have loved to have seen that.
And the following week, I went to go see Les Paul. It was like my jazz 2 weeks of like New York things. But, you know, I would love to do Woody Allen movies. Sleeper is another one that I really want to revisit.
Another one that, again, another film that I could watch over and over. It always makes me laugh. It never, never, never gets old.
When he gets into the Volkswagen Beetle. I mean, as somebody who loves Volkswagen Beetles, he gets in and he just starts right up after, what was it, 500 years or something? He's like, yeah, they really built these things to last. Total classic Woody Allen. But even, what did we review just, it must be 2 years now. I Love You, Daddy? Oh, no.
Oh, Louis C.K. That was it.
But that wasn't Woody Allen.
No, that was Louis C.K., mimicking Woody Allen with black and white cinematography. And
yeah, that was black. Yeah, so that might count as black and white. But what was the one that we did of Woody Allen, which went with our little duo of banned movies?
Rainy Day in New York.
Rainy Day in New York, yes, that was it. Good movie. They were both good movies, I thought.
Yeah, I liked them. I liked them a lot.
Yeah. Thoroughly enjoyed them. So, all right, let's get into this movie. This is.
I'm just curious. You sent me a picture of a statue of Lou Costello. Where the hell is this? I got to go visit.
That is in Lou Costelloville in New Jersey. No, it's it's in New Jersey.
I would have believed you too.
Lou Costelloville. No, it's somewhere in New Jersey. It's a famous statue, and I 100 years ago, we happened to be in New Jersey, and a friend of mine was like, you know, there's a statue of Lou Costello. And I was like, who? No, I'm just kidding. And I'm going to tell you right now where it is. Because he was born, it's in Paterson, New Jersey.
Jesus.
And he might have been born there. I'm not under. Yeah, he was born there in 1906.
That's a great looking likeness. I mean, that statue
born
is amazing.
Louis Francis Crestillo.
He's a wop.
Big time wop. Yeah, man. You know, he was kind of young in this. He was only like 43 years old or 42 years old. Looks 60. Anyway.
Wait, I'm doing that math. Hold on.
He was born in 06 and this came out in 48.
Oh, okay. I was looking to see when he died. It was 59.
Yeah, 59. So let's get in on this. So the basis of this is Costello is loved by women.
Who want something. God, yeah. Women. Women!
Women.
They always want something. They don't really love you.
They don't love
you. I'm sorry. I don't want to go into that diatribe again.
Oh, my God. So
it turns out that Lou is dating a woman who's actually a European mad scientist who's in cahoots with Dracula, played by Bela Lugosi, his greatest role. Everybody's at the top of their game in this, like Lugosi, Talbot.
Everybody looks good, too. Everybody looks correct. They act correct. But I will say, Lon Chaney, who I thought was solid as the Wolfman, I didn't know that Lon Chaney had a lisp. And I found it a little distracting.
He had a lisp?
Yeah.
You know what that could be? He was probably drunk off his ass.
Was he a drinker?
Oh, man. Are you kidding? You see how he turns out by 1967? And he looks,
I don't.
Horrid.
Poor guy. Poor guy, because, you know, in all seriousness, all these guys, they've really, you know, they made such a mark on the culture of cinema and of horror, and you know, especially Lugosi. And they just
I was a horror kid growing up, so I worship these guys.
Yeah, I mean, Lugosi wasn't going to get this role. Ian Keith was going to get it, and I believe Ian Keith was also in the running to be the original Dracula over Lugosi. And Lugosi's manager stepped up to the plate and literally screamed, "He is Dracula. You owe this role to Lugosi."
And he's right.
Yeah, and he got it.
You know, I wanted to mention that I just read this today, that the original Universal Monster movies, Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, they're going to be back in theaters this October because it's like some 90th anniversary or something. Yeah. And I'm hoping they come by me in a theater near me. But I'm wondering, like, who's going to take their kids to see this? And it's a shame that they don't, although I can see where these are slower paced than, like, today's movies, like Marvel movies or like any of this other shit that's out there.
Yeah.
You know, they don't move fast enough. They don't get to the good stuff that quickly.
Yeah, a whole movie of crescendos. I mean, that's what today's movies really are. And I find new movies to be interesting. You know, these superhero movies are they look beautiful and all this, you know, it's good stuff that they're doing, but we can't forget where we came from.
And I would love to see, like, Dracula or Frankenstein, those pristine black and whites on a big screen. You know, not just your 63-inch TV, but like a big movie screen. I wonder what that would be like, just to see, you know, like the original Dracula is really slow, but it's so atmospheric. And that looks gorgeous.
I'd love to. I think that's a great idea, and I think I really hope they do that. I think people are kind of over the whole movie theater experience, personally. But yeah.
You think? Yeah. When what the hell was number one? Oh, Shang-Chi was number one at the box office, and I was like, oh man, really?
I don't know. I mean, we have one of these big, huge, modern Lowe's theaters here. It's always empty. I mean, for obvious reasons. I mean, we're in the armpit of the planet here.
I have to say, like, this weekend, I might go to the theaters because Clint Eastwood's Cry Macho opens.
That I've heard really good things about.
And I you know, this might be the last time we see, let's be honest.
What is he, 93 years old or something?
Yeah. So this might be the last time we see him starring in a movie. So
when I was a kid,
go out there.
When I was a kid, it was always like, he's still making movies. And I'm like, not a kid anymore, and he's still making movies. Have you ever seen his movie? And, you know, we have to get into this episode, but I mean, to this movie. But have you ever seen Play Misty for Me?
Oh, yeah, of course.
What a good movie, right?
It is good. Yeah, he directed that. That's one of his directorial jobs.
I bought that on
Laser. His first.
I was on St. Mark's, and some homeless guy was just selling random stuff in the 90s. And one of the things he was selling for, like, a dollar was a Laserdisc of that. And I was like, you know what? I've never seen it. I'm a buck. Hey, why not? And I fell in love with the movie.
It's great. It's great.
And then I hung out with the guy. I fell in love with crack. Yeah, hey. Gotta love things. So, yeah, we open up. Lon Chaney is all kind of distressed. He makes a phone call to Abbott and Costello, which I was glad that we didn't have to go through a long, long intro before getting to the stars of...
Oh, this thing moves. This yeah. thing is, like you say, yeah, it goes right into it.
I'm going to play his call. I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, I if we had more time... I was going to go and watch the Universal Monster movies in order to see if there's continuity, to see how, you know, I know the Wolfman was after Frankenstein in one movie, but now this is modern times, so I guess maybe there is no continuity, not meant to be any continuity.
Yeah, it's weird how all this works. Like, you know, well... Actually, what do you think of this movie? Do you think that this belongs in the Universal movie, you know, Monsters?
Hell yeah. Hell
yeah. Yeah. I would say so.
Are you kidding? Yeah, with Bella there, with...
Lon Chaney.
Lon Chaney.
The other guy.
Hey, you know what? I have a very vivid memory of watching this movie at one of my elementary school assemblies. Remember
really?
When you used to have assembly on Fridays?
Yeah.
And they played movies sometimes. And, like, Food of the Gods was another one. But Glenn Strange's Frankenstein always scared me more than any other Frankenstein. I don't know why. There's something – I don't know if it's the way he's lit in some of these scenes. I just was always frightened more by his – face than when it was Boris. I think Lon Chaney played Frankenstein in one of the movies.
I think in this, in Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, we get closer shots of Frankenstein. We get better
yeah.
looks at him than
yeah.
we do in everything. I kind of wish there was a little bit more mad scientist stuff going on in this movie. But all in all, I mean, it's a very entertaining movie and certainly wonderful for this time of the year.
So, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So here we have the Wolfman calling. I'll just let him speak for himself.
Out of Florida yet? Yes, I know it takes time to call from London to the States, but please hurry. It's terribly important.
Answer that phone. Answer the bell. Answer the phone!
What do you want me to answer first?
Both of them.
Both of them! Both of them!
See, I'm laughing already.
Both of them!
I love the way Bud just bashes on.
I just want to see Costello in a pizzeria. Are there any scenes where he's making pizza?
Do you want to know something? Up the street from me, where I lived, was a small candy store owned by this guy who had the same shape as Lou Costello, had the same hair as Lou Costello. You know, the way it's like greased down and parted on the left.
Yeah. He's got like what is that called? The pomade.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's like a hair wax.
And, you know, everything about him was Lou Costello, except, you know, this guy was really a drinker. Like, just like, you know, so his face didn't look like it. It looked like a Lou Costello gone to seed. but his name was Fred. I always
Fred Costello. He's probably a cousin. Yes. Freddy Costello.
Same shape, same hair. Yeah. It was amazing.
But they go on.
Hold the line, please. Thank you.
I'd like to have my grip, please.
Yes, ma'am. Let me see that. Well, they came in on the last train.
Well, you know, it's weird. Like, it's very difficult to review this movie because everything is kind of a gag. And there are setups. There are setups that take a minute. And that's why kids might not have the patience that we had when we were younger.
And it's tough, like you say, it's tough to clip it because
yeah,
there's funny things all through scenes, but then you miss like a real big one. Like if you want to play Q10, I mean, just to give them like this is a good condensed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I'm looking at some of these scenes and I'm like, oh, it's just a shame that this isn't visual.
I wish we had a video podcast. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's no fun.
Come on, help me open that crate. Come on.
Now, they've made the delivery to the wax museum, and the place is creepy, and the power goes out, and they have to light a candle, which is not the best thing to do in a wax museum, I would think.
Come on, get with it, will you, please? You know, always fit. Frankenstein's monster. Get a load of this here. Come here. A scientist named Frankenstein made a monster by sewing together parts of old dead bodies.
You have to read that stuff.
Wait a minute. Frankenstein gave the monster eternal life by shooting it full of electricity. Some people claim it is not dead even now.
Uh-huh.
Just dormant. Now, who'd be silly enough to believe that?
Who would be silly enough to believe that? Me.
Just the way Bud goes,
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
In the background, we have Dracula. He's snuck out of his coffin. They don't see him at all. He sneaks back in the coffin. It's just kind of ridiculous.
And there was a prior scene where Costello is reading the Dracula placard.
Right.
And the candle is on the coffin and the candle moves. And
yeah, it's amazing.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
It really is. He also, Abbott is, his character's name is Jack in this.
And, no, it's Chick.
Oh, Chick?
Chick Young.
Oh, okay. Because it sounds like when he's calling him, he goes, Jack. Jack.
Chick. Oh, Chick.
So he's saying Chick.
Oh, Chick.
And, like, that's one of those things that Rami and I always hear when we're, like, kind of cracking up because he's, like, trying to yell, but he can't. I guess he's saying Chick. He's like, Chick. 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 And screams it.
I love it.
What?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Nails out, certainly. Go ahead.
Pull on the nails.
It's so visual. But, you know, in the background, if they just turned their head, they would see Dracula sitting in the coffin. Very funny. They open up this huge crate, and it is Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster. Sorry.
Get that right.
But, you know, even the title of this got it wrong, right? I mean, Ebony Costello meets...
True.
Frankenstein's monster, it should have been.
And like, Frankenstein seems to get less screen time than certainly Larry Talbot, certainly less than Dracula, although I could have used more Dracula too.
Yeah, Dracula was good in this. Although
he's great.
He was a little too human, in my opinion.
What?
Yeah. He has these, like, normal conversations, and I was like, eh.
Do we want to just play, because I want to talk about what Dracula's interest is in the Frankenstein monster.
Yeah.
So if you could play Q11, this is where Dracula is visiting who we know to be Lou's girlfriend, who turns out to be the mad scientist.
There we go. And, you know, these sets and everything are just spot on.
Gorgeous. There's a shot where they're in the rowboat and it's approaching the castle.
Is that the end? No, not the end.
No, no, it's towards the middle when they first go out.
Yeah.
And it looks great. I mean, I know that castle isn't there, but, you know, it's a composite or a mat, but it looks great. Yeah. Again, we'll take that over some phony
CGI-created
landscape.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole overdone CGI thing is a little bit tough to take.
I just can't go to movies anymore. I just can't.
Well, enjoy the movies when you go tomorrow. By the way, they have a knocker, and it's like the size of a pizza.
Look at the size of the door. The door is huge.
Yeah. Surprised the door didn't
creak.
Evening,
Dr. Mornay.
You know?
My dear Count, it's so good to see you again.
You look more charming than when I saw you last.
Come in, Count Dracula.
Thank you, Sandra. But the name is Dr. Lejos. I wouldn't want to frighten your technical assistant.
Professor Stevens?
One, two, three. The clown. That's who he sounds like. It's supposed to be who, you know, the other way around. But, I mean, just the accent is so funny.
Neatly engrossed in his work. Besides, he should be out of here by tomorrow.
Excellent.
Yes.
Lugosi was another WOP, wasn't he?
No, he's like, what?
Bella Lugosi, a totally Italian name.
No, he's like some kind of European, is Yugoslavian or some Hungarian. He's
You're right. That, he changed it to Bella Lugosi. His name originally, I'm going to butcher this.
Wierzchowski.
Bella Leibowitz. No, Bella Ferenc Dezo Blasco.
Wow.
Yikes. He was from Hungary.
That's a name.
Actually, yeah, it's kind of weird. He was born in Lugos, Hungary, Austria-Hungary, which is now Romania. I don't even understand what but so he's Romanian. That's okay.
Except that he's asking too many questions.
I will take care of that. Is everything else arranged?
Yes. Where did you leave him?
In the cold.
I'll get a wrap.
And the music too. The whole score is really beautiful. It's you feel like you're watching one of these classic horror and classic monster movies.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had like little portable flashlights in 1948. She has like this little pen light. Where the hell did they get that thing? they go to the Frankenstein monster. And...
Nervous, my dear?
This is risky business.
Not as risky as those curious operations of yours that so intrigued the European police. Yet...
Is that real fur, you think? She has this mink on. Holy moly.
Much more profitable. Restore the monster for me. You shall have anything you wish.
In that case, we better start as soon as possible.
Now, what is her name in this? Is this the woman?
Sandra.
Sandra. And is that Lenore? Lenore?
Lenore Auber. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Now, the women in this movie are very strange for the time. They're beautiful women, but they're not too beautiful. Do you know what I mean? Like, you look at a Marx Brothers movie or any movie where... From this period of time, the women are very much leading ladies. But not so much in this one, I think.
No.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with the way they look. I think that they also kind of... their outfits are a little bit risque for 1948, because if you go back to like the 30s, when, you know, the pre-code stuff, where it's extremely revealing, they're a little bit of a throwback to that, which is when the monster movies weren't they. What years were the monster movies made?
They were their prime was in the 30s.
Yeah. So I have to wonder if the monster movies were even pre-code. I don't think they were, though.
No, I don't think they were pre-code. No.
But, so yeah.
Pre-code is like
34, maybe? I'm not 100% sure.
It's dangerous to leave him in this weakened condition.
Have you mastered Dr. Frankenstein's notebook?
Let me get my hand on a scalpel again, and you shall see.
And about the brain. I don't want to repeat Frankenstein's mistake and revive a vicious, unmanageable brute. This time the monster must have no will of his own, no fiendish intellect to oppose his master.
Well, my dear Count, I believe I have exceeded your fondest wishes. The new brain I've chosen for the monster is so simple, so pliable, he will obey you like a trained dog.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, what would Dracula, the king of the undead, want with Frankenstein? Like he needs a... Does he need a friend?
Well,
you know, an undead friend?
For one, it's Frankenstein's monster. But for two, he can go and do his bidding while he's asleep. Because remember, Dracula can't go out during the day.
Right, but Frankenstein's kind of obvious looking, given his appearance. Okay. So it never made much sense to me, like, what Dracula wants with the Frankenstein monster.
I don't understand what Dracula's goal in life is, to be honest with you. I have a tough time kind of following the why, because, yeah, I don't know what his... We never learn what his plan might be, right?
Right, right.
By the way, Dracula came out originally in 1931.
Ooh, was it 31?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing.
Again, I picture seeing that on the big screen today. Like, I hope it comes near me.
Yeah. I actually have not seen Dracula in a very long time. So I'll make a little bit of a trip.
I'm the same way. I mean, if it's on TV, I'll watch it, but.
Was that the first of the Universal Monsters movies? Do you know?
I would think so. I think Frankenstein came after, didn't it?
It was written.
You said Dracula was 31. I think Frankenstein was 33, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm looking.
But, so they're kind of like...
Oh, no, that was 31, too.
Did they come out like the same time? That would be crazy.
Possible. There was always that rivalry between Karloff and Lugosi.
Hmm.
Yeah, same year. And you're right, that is a pre-code.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely pre-code.
I thought the pre-code was like...
Well, pre-code tended... When you call something pre-code...
1926 or something.
No. Pre-code is... really, it's a period of time. I think... I'm just going on a lemon tea. It's between 1930 and 1934. And it was just a period of time where movies were a little bit more risque. A lot more risque. They're a little bit smarter, had more adult themes, and they squashed that, thankfully. So,
right? We wouldn't want to see the likes of Saw 2 or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It might really corrupt us. The Wolfman shows up, Talbot, before... Well, Talbot is the Wolfman before he turns into the wolf. So he comes in, he has a little bit of banter with Abbott and Costello. He's looking for the room. Where did he come from? Maybe he says. Did he say where he was coming from?
Well, he says really he's coming far. From Europe, and he's following Frankenstein, like, or Dracula.
How would he get here so quickly?
Right.
I don't think there's any... Are there any flights from, maybe 1948, a flight from Europe to the States?
Certainly not direct.
And, yeah, we don't know where they are, right?
They're in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Because they say, Talbot said earlier, like, he's trying to call Florida.
Wow. I really missed that.
You're Wilbur Gray?
Yes, sir.
Then you must be Chick Young.
So what?
I'm Lawrence Talbot. I've been looking all over town for you.
So what? I love Abbott's kind of curmudgeonness.
Right, his gruffness.
What do you want? We're just two single men sleeping in the same room. What's the problem? We call the head.
Is this a raid?
We'll keep one leg off the bed.
We didn't have to look far. We were in jail.
Yes, I know. You see, I'm the one who telephoned you not to deliver those bodies. I knew they were alive.
So, yeah, we kind of skipped. So they open up the things. The owner comes in and says you did something to steal them. Or not really sure. He didn't actually flat out say that. They were stolen, but he calls the police and they're arrested for, I'm assuming, stealing the monsters.
There you are. So you thought I was imagining things, huh? Well, I told you about the fellow who was 8 foot tall and walking like this with the stiff legs and all that, and then the other fellow with this here.
Wait a minute. You're crazy, and so is this screwball. Look, bub, I have my own troubles.
Worse than you think. I followed Dracula all the way from Europe because I believe that he's going to try and revive the Frankenstein monster.
You don't hear his lisp?
I'll listen now for it.
All right.
We must find him and destroy him before he can do this.
Wait a minute. Why don't you get...
Do this.
Shh. Again, that could be like his...
He could be wasted, but...
bottle vodka breakfast.
Oh, man.
Down to the police. Tell them you know the story about Dracula and the monster. They'd be very interested.
Dracula? This is kind of funny.
Well, that's his accent.
Yeah, I know. This is kind of funny. Throwing an R at the end.
Oh, I can't do that. Because then I'd have to tell them who I am and why I know what I know. Soon the moon will rise.
I have to drink more.
I haven't time to explain. I've taken the room across the hall. Here's the key. Lock me in.
Lock you in?
Yes, please, hurry.
It's silly, but I'll do it.
It's silly, but I'll do it. He just met this guy 35 seconds ago. It's just pissed off.
And that leads into, again, a great visual scene where Lou goes back to Talbot's room, Talbot's already turned into the Wolfman, yeah. And is stalking Costello all around the room.
Which is really good. There are a few parts of that which just had me laughing. When, you know, I'm just going to call him Costello. Costello's writing, and we see the Wolfman coming behind him, and he just keeps missing him. Even though Costello is moving
right
at normal pace and everything, he just can't catch him. Also, Costello did not want to do this movie, believe it or not. He thought that the script was trash. He even said that he's like, my young daughter could write a better script, and he refused to do it. But then they paid him $50,000, which was still a tremendous lot of money. I guess I would do the movie, but you know, back then, of course.
Back then, yeah, that's a shit ton of money.
So this movie is 73 years old. Is that right?
43? No, what'd you say? 48?
Yeah, 48. 73 years ago.
Ouch.
Ouch.
That makes me feel old.
That makes me 73.
In the bedroom. Wilbur.
It's kind of like when I'm like working like sometimes in my dining room and my dog's like sneaking up on me. You got any snacks? And then I just like turn my head and he's just sitting there staring at me. That's kind of the way I feel about that scene.
Now, exactly why the Wolfman just doesn't attack, why he's... Right. I just like the way he follows him, like, behind the chair.
He takes his time.
Then waits till he's out the door before he attacks.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's still a good scene.
There's another subplot kind of going on where we get another girl involved. I don't know if she comes in right away, but we have the blonde...
Oh, Joan Raymond, insurance inspector.
That's very strange.
Detective.
I'm going to play this scene. I'm going to go to Q17. You're checking on Talbot.
This key don't fit. Sorry. This is Talbot's key. Hey, we forgot about him.
Boy, what a bender he must have been on last night.
Now, I read that this was his actual hotel room. No. But yeah, the whole room is a huge mess. And
Hey, Mr. Talbot. Mr. Talbot. And I thought you were such a nice man, too. Look at yourself. You're a mess.
Last night, I went through another of my horrible experiences.
See, you could totally hear, like, he's... I mean, I don't care that he has a lisp. I just don't recall it. Maybe he's wasted.
Years ago, I was bitten by a werewolf. Ever since, when the full moon rises, I turn into a wolf myself.
Oh, how? That's all right. I'm sort of a wolf myself.
Yeah, and, you know what's funny?
Every time I hear it, I laugh.
Costello's face, he's so impressed with himself with that joke. And Abbott hits him. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was letting
you. And here I thought that you were the only one that would believe me, that you were the one that knew that I spoke the truth. You have seen the living dead.
Uh-huh.
I came all the way from Europe because Dracula and the monster must be destroyed. Together we must find them.
Now, coming from a cinematic standpoint, I do want to just say one of the things that I find fascinating about this movie is you have this strong comedic aspect. And a lot of times with an Abbott and Costello movie, it's pure comedy. But with this movie, there's so much back and forth where the movie turns into this monster movie, where it's dead serious.
Yeah, everybody is playing it straight except Bud and Lou.
But even they kind of play it straight. Like right here, they're listening to him. They're engaged in what he's saying. And there might be a little bit of a punchline coming, but for the most part, the whole tone of the movie is pretty serious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's really weird, the pacing and everything. It's very mature. Maybe it's another reason why kids might not like it.
Again, it moves at a quick clip, and there's always, always something funny happening.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, wait a minute. Let's not start that all over again. I can't go. I got a date. In fact, I got two dates.
But you and I have a date with destiny.
What the hell is that? It's just, I never want to hear a man saying that to me.
Let chick go with destiny. Won't you please? Huh?
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 Won't you? Huh? Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So the next, I almost said the next day. I'm assuming it's that night. We see the exterior of the castle. Which
do you see that shot? Isn't that like a great?
Yeah, I'm just gonna. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It reminds me of the kind of thing you put in an aquarium or something.
That's true, true.
But it probably is a model, but it's a beautiful model. Wait, actually.
I think that's a painting.
Yeah,
and
it
the
is.
The boat is real. I mean, in a studio water.
Sky and everything, it's pretty awesome.
It's awesome. It's yeah. Awesome.
But yeah, we see them on the rowboat. Is that what you were talking about with them in the rowboat? I didn't notice they were in the water there. But yeah, it's a beautiful shot. It kind of has a little bit of an Ingmar Bergman look to it. You know, it's like these pure blacks. And it's another thing. We get to the Abbott and Costello scenes where there's a lot of like tritone, there's softer grays. But then we get to the horror guys, the monsters, and we get the jet blacks and the deep blacks.
Yes.
Really beautiful.
Yes.
So I'm finding a new appreciation for this movie.
Technical credits are incredible.
But like I said, you know, as a kid, I just wasn't a fan. But as an adult, I really do appreciate these films. Let's see.
You should look at other, especially the ones that came after this that are stay in their horror cycle. I think you would like the other.
What was done? The Invisible Man, right?
There's one with the Invisible Man, which has great special effects.
Right.
Like, better than in that Invisible Man remake, which was, again, all CGI.
I am not a fan of the Invisible Man.
I know, but this, they make it funny.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's good. And then there's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. There's The Mummy. There's...
Oh, they did do The Mummy. The Mummy was supposed to be in this one, but they scratched it. You know, they were just like, nope.
Oh, so you can't have too many in one movie.
I mean, that's what's happening with Star Wars.
That's what happened with Spider-Man. They started with Dr. Octopus. Then they put in, like, Sandman plus the whatever that Neo-Goblin is.
Oh, yeah, the Hobgoblin.
The Hobgoblin or whatever it was. Or no, it was the, like, Venom. It was Venom, Sandman plus the Green Goblin. I was like, geez, that's too many. The Batman films did the same thing.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like the original Batman movie from, like, 2001. I thought that was pretty good. But, you know, once they saw the success of Spider-Man, it was over. I remember remember when The Hulk came out?
Oh, Jesus.
It was just terrible. That's another problem with the CGI.
Yeah.
But you know what? Marvel has gotten better with storytelling. I will say that.
Oh, wow. You're a Marvel fan? I pick and choose the ones I want to watch, and you can take them or leave them. I don't want to see a large majority of them.
Well, I thought DC was turning a little bit because did you see Joker?
You
weren't a fan of it?
It's just such a downer of a movie.
Yeah,
it's very down. It's not why I go to movies. I want to be entertained. I don't want to see.
No, I get it. I just felt the darkness of this, the creation of this character, was really different than anything that any other superhero movie.
I liked it. I will never watch it again. I mean, it's just that movie that I will never watch.
But you know, that movie reminds me so much of, and you're going to think I'm crazy, and I'm probably crazy, but it's more about the tone than the movie, is Taxi Driver.
Yeah, yeah, and King of Comedy too.
And King of Comedy completely. Yeah.
But it's just so relentlessly downbeat. Like, yeah. King of Comedy was kind of funny.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Taxi Driver didn't go to this level of, like...
Well, Taxi Driver had some weird cringe humor as well.
Yeah, yeah. And this was... Joker is so devoid of that. And I'm like, ugh.
I don't know. I did enjoy it, but I know where you're coming from. I watched it with my kid, and surprisingly, he, like, really liked it.
Really?
But he's not a big DC fan, though. But he said that if this is going to be where they're taking it, he would be more inclined to watch DC movies.
Didn't Justice League come after that?
I mean, they totally blow it. You know, he's a Marvel fan when it comes down to it.
Marvel comics were always better. Back in the 70s. I don't know what they're like now, but...
I don't know. So... We get into the castle. We see the girl, the brunette. And, you know, I thought her outfit was a little bit revealing-ish. It's kind of sheer and stuff.
Wait, I'm looking for it.
Like a 3816 is where.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not really revealing. It's just more along the lines of something you don't normally see in this period of time.
I like Joan Raymond's dress better.
The blonde?
The blonde.
So let's see. Dracula finally meets up with the boys. There seems to be this like artificial love interest going on with Costello and both women.
Right.
Which is
because they both want something from him.
He's Italian.
God forbid.
God forbid.
They actually love him. Can we play Bella's scene when he comes down?
22?
As Dr. Lejos, because, again, another classic scene like that will always make me laugh.
Yeah.
That it won't come across on this audio podcast, but...
Could. We'll try. Here we go.
Who screamed? You did.
I did.
Now listen, Wilbur. If you don't stop imagining these crazy things, I'll take you to a doctor to have you examined.
But I'm telling you, I saw them. And when I see what I see, I saw it. That's all because Mr. Talbot, he, same way he saw
it. Talbot, Talbot, he's crazy. You're both crazy.
Sandra. Sandra, I've just got to tell you, I was downstairs in the basement.
Basement? And what were you doing down there?
I opened the door.
Hey, he opened the door and fell down the stairs.
Fibber.
You should...
Fibber. That is pretty funny.
Be careful. A person can get killed that...
What are these curtains? There's like faces on it and stuff. We just got like a monsoon here. It's like crazy pouring outside.
Really?
Yeah, holy moly.
I hope you weren't disturbed, Dr. Leho.
It is perfectly right, my dear. Introduce me.
This is Miss Raymond, Mr. Young, and this is Wilbur.
Ah, Wilbur, why? I heard so much about you, I feel as if we have already met. And I must say, my dear, I approve very highly of your choice. What we need today is young blood and brain.
Here it comes.
Oh, don't be bashful. Huh.
This is kind of where I mean, though, where he's just a little too human. I don't recall him ever being this kind of...
friendly?
Human. Yeah, I mean, even artificially. Seems kind of weird. Also, I just got a crazy thunderbolt and, lightning bolt, and then we had some thunder. So hopefully it doesn't mess with the episode too much or take out the power. It'd be kind of creepy.
Right, it'd be Dracula.
So yeah, I mean, it's like the entire, they're kind of being led there. And, all right, so here's Dracula talking about a little bit of why.
Now then, what was it all about?
This thing is too dangerous. The girl is an insurance investigator. Stevens is asking too many questions. And Wilbur was up to something in the basement. I think we ought to wait.
And jeopardize the success of the operation? Never. I must warn you, my dear Sandra. I am accustomed to having my orders obeyed. Especially by women with a price on their heads.
Don't try to scare me, Count Dracula.
Can he hypnotize her or something?
Right? Well, he's going to get down to action finally.
Yeah. And there's another thing is, I don't think I'm the only person to point this out, but you can see his reflection in the mirror.
Yep.
When he goes to attack her, I just thought...
Major faux pas.
Like, you're a vampire, dude.
Sorry.
I have other ways of securing your cooperation.
You're wasting your time. My will is as strong as yours.
She has like a whole like Wonder Woman type outfit on.
She's an Amazon.
Around her, like, she has like a belt on that looks like the golden whip, whatever it's called. The lasso.
Yeah, around her head.
She kind of looks like Wonder Woman's mom or something. Sure.
Now then, what was it all about? Look into my eyes.
Look deeper.
Look.
Now, I don't know what instruments they were using on this. I mean, you could probably make that sound with a variety of instruments.
Is that a theremin?
I'm wondering, it easily could be a theremin. Absolutely.
Deeper. Tell me what you see.
And he goes in for the kill. Not really, but goes in for the bite.
And she gets a really horrible comeuppance later on in the film.
Yeah. Let's see, we have a masquerade party out of nowhere where they're trying on these masks. Everybody's always grabbing Costello, you notice that?
Yes.
People are always physical with him. It's like, stop grabbing him so much. But here we are at the masquerade party.
Thank you. Have you seen Chick Young or Wilbur Gray?
Seen them? I don't even know them.
I've got to know what they found on that island.
That guy went to his grave being like, yeah, I'm the guy in you know, the movie, Abbott and Costello's Frankenstein. I had a line.
Chick, Wilbur, what did you find? Was I right?
No. And I wish you'd stop trying to put those ideas in this boy's head. He's not used to them. Go put your things on, Wilbur.
Did you meet Dr. Lejos?
Yes.
What did he look like? Tall, aristocratic, the faraway look in his eye?
All I know is he told us to go out and have some fun. Why don't you?
Can't I convince you that Dracula is a very dangerous person?
You and Wilbur are just trying to scare me. Well, it won't work.
Costello comes out with a mask.
I scared you.
Yes.
Ah, I scared you, you big sissy. This is your mask. Mine. Come here.
Oh, no. Please don't wear that.
What's the matter?
I know you'll think I'm crazy, but...
This is it.
That's in half an hour, the moon will rise, and I'll turn into a wolf.
You and 20 million other guys.
Listen.
He just grabs him and throws him around.
I'll tear you limb from limb.
Is that serious?
He'll murder you.
That's serious.
It won't be if you'll just take me and lock me in my room. Please.
This guy loves being locked in his room. Don't give me any alcohol. Yeah, this kind of a weird, such a visual movie. We're really not doing it justice because it really is a setup for really laughing at the way these are presented. And the, geez,
yeah,
you hear that?
Was that? I thought that was you.
That was thunder.
Wow.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of a storm here, Long Island.
I hope people go out and. Modern people go out and dig up this old flick and watch it.
It will.
I know it runs on, what's that guy's name?
Turner?
Svengoolie.
Svengoolie. Oh, yeah, Svengoolie.
On me, I was going to say me too. Me TV. I know he runs it. But I wish people would rent, you know, go out. You can't rent. You know, see other. I'm like, go get that VHS.
Order it on the pay per view. We got a cheetah box.
It's only $29.95.
$29.95 is it for one night. You tape it, and then yeah, you make copies for your friends.
I wish people would go out and just watch the films of Abbott and Costello because I think they hold up. I think their comedy holds up.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the way they interact with each other.
I agree with you. Well, I mean, I can't say I totally agree with you just because I don't know all of Abbott and Costello movies. But the pacing and the quality and the details, you know, I definitely wasted my time watching The Three Stooges. Because even now I watch The Three Stooges and I'm not that impressed, to be honest with you. With the humor of the Three Stooges. Although I like physical comedy, as I got older, I enjoyed the comedy of the physical comedy of like of Chaplin or even Fatty Arbuckle, you know, can barely move, you know.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you know, there's a certain elegance that the Three Stooges didn't bring to the table. It might be insulting a few people out there. But hey, if you're sticking around this long with VHS Rewind, you know we have opinions.
We have opinions.
We have opinions. So, the thing that's missing with this movie is a reason for them doing what they're doing.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, we don't know why Dracula wants Frankenstein's monster. Yeah. We don't know why the Wolfman, why Talbot cares so much. You know, like, why is he so invested?
But, you know, I can overlook all of that. I don't really.
Oh, no, I can too. Because it doesn't matter. It's just when you really break it down, it starts getting a little bit, you know, from our point of view where we have to explain the plot. It's like, well, why are they doing that, really? I don't know why. Why is there a masquerade ball? You know, it's it should have been a Halloween ball.
I'm glad that you showed this to your son, and not only that, but that he likes it.
Yeah, well, you know, he has a lot more patience. I told you we watched Godfather 1 and 2, and, you know, he loved it. I was blown away by that. I'm like, you're going to be bored out of your skull.
Where was part three in this?
You know, it's funny. Is Betsy and I watched part three.
The Redux version?
The Redux version. You know what's funny about that is I do another podcast. We do several other podcasts, but one called Dr. Quinncast. And in Dr. Quinncast, it's about the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman TV show. And there's a young lady named Jennifer Youngs who plays Ingrid on the show. And we had the opportunity to interview her on the show. And she's really, really, really sweet girl. And we're watching Godfather 3. And we realize, holy cow, it is thundering like an MRF-er out there. My Maltese dog is probably having a heart attack right now. But we're watching it, and sitting next to Sofia Coppola in one of the early scenes is Jennifer Youngs. And I look it up, and she's not in the credits. And I'm like, what? You know, how did this happen? And being that I'm kind of buddy-buddy on Facebook with her now, I took a screenshot and I sent it over to her. And she's like, yeah, that is me. And I just thought it was kind of crazy. It ends up that Tommy Hagen's son is played by her father. And her father is kind of, I want to get his name because I know I'll mess it up. Because I believe he was in the musical Hair. He's John Savage.
Really?
Yeah, are you familiar with John Savage?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he, like, disappeared, though.
He was born here on Long Island, by the way. But he's still doing things. You know, he's in a lot of pre-productions right now. He's been working. He's been in movies like SEAL Team. I'm looking at his collection of films now. It's just funny that I had no idea that this girl, her father, is, you know, like this kind of, you know, famous guy. Like, I mentioned it to Betsy, and she's like, oh, yeah, he's from Hair. I'm like, oh, I don't want to sit through that. But, yeah, it was just kind of, if you look at his list, it's very impressive. He's yet to stop working.
That's amazing. Wow. We got to get an interview.
I might be able to, you know. But yeah, he plays Father Andrew Hagen.
He's got, like, four things every year. From now until, like, 1979.
I mean, he was in Do the Right Thing. I mean, you got to respect the guy a little bit.
He was in The Deer Hunter, for Christ's sake.
He looks like he would be in The Deer Hunter. Jeez. But anyway, so Jennifer Youngs is his daughter. Very sweet girl. She came on and she gave us a lot of fun dirt about the show, about the behind the scenes and stuff like that. Good stuff.
Wow.
But you know who gave us the most dirt? Wonderful. Is Beth Sullivan, the creator of the show. She came on to talk to us. And she gave us more dirt than I couldn't even go into. I cannot imagine that a better interview with more dirt in it. It was just incredible. It was crazy. All right, so back to Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. We are... Do you want to talk about where we are in the episode, in the movie?
I think we're just about done. I mean, again, without showing clips,
yeah.
All we're going to keep saying is that, you know, the physical.
Oh, what happened?
What?
Oh, no. You vanished for a second.
I did?
Well, you said we're going to talk about the physical, and then went.
Oh, whoops.
So the moon comes up, the Wolfman comes out. Everybody.
The last like 20 minutes is just like a free for all. It's a chase around the castle.
Yeah.
Frankenstein is chasing Bud and Lou, and Wolfman is fighting Dracula, and they
a lot intersect. Of good physical comedy. Like when they have Costello on the table and they're spinning him around. I don't know. Right? I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
We get some classic Dracula moments where. He's hypnotizing people, and he's got the hand with the claw. We do get this really amazing shot of when Costello is on the table, and the nurse has a scalpel, and thankfully she's wearing a mask. And, well, you don't want to spread any germs. And his look, I took a screenshot of it, is just classic. It's like, oh my God, don't do it. But he's going to remove Costello's brain. She's going to remove Costello's brain because that's going to be the brain that's going to be implanted into Frankenstein's monster.
Which, again, for what purpose? We don't know.
Because he's easy to manipulate, baby. Because he's a dope. We get the last scene where Frankenstein is throwing barrels of gasoline, maybe?
I'm not sure what was in the barrels there. But he's on a pier.
Yeah.
And Joan and her beau, Professor Stevens, is throwing gas down. Yeah. And they set it afire, and the Frankenstein monster walks into the fire, supposedly burns up, although it looks like he falls through the...
I just want to play this scene for a moment. I'm just curious about something here.
Fill that bucket with gas.
You know. Not that kind of gas.
Tie the boat!
Now, they're tied to the pier, and we have Abbott rowing. And are they trying to start the motor? No.
Is there a motor on there? There's no motor on there. That's a robot.
No, it's a little motor. There's a little motor. And I'm like, well, why don't they start the thing up? And they're tied to the pier. And it's just kind
of... Well, you're right. There is a robot.
A little guy.
Untie the boat!
Untie the boat! Now, this all, to me, looks a lot like the original Frankenstein, right? It looks good. It's sharp. Everything is beautiful in the tones. But, yeah, it is kind of comical that they would be tied to the pier, and you have Abbott rowing with the motor.
Untie the boat, will you?
And Frankenstein this whole time is picking up 55-gallon barrels of stuff and throwing it at them. It's missing
probably,
them.
It's probably bourbon.
Yeah, missing them every time.
Untie the boat, will you please?
Anyway, long story short, this guy lights up the pier, and we get this kind of cool shot of Frankenstein walking through the fire.
Yeah, I always liked that, yeah.
Well, he won't chase us anymore. And another thing, Mr. Chick Young, the next time that I tell you that I saw something when I saw it, you believe me that I saw it.
Now, he's still rowing. Even though they're tied to the thing, it doesn't make any sense.
Relax. Now that we've seen the last of Dracula, the Wolfman, and the monster, there's nobody to frighten us anymore.
And we see behind him, like, maybe a cigarette pop up.
Oh, that's too bad. I was hoping to get in on the excitement. Who said that? Allow me to introduce myself. I'm the Invisible Man.
Now, you recognize the voice, right?
That's Vincent Price, for sure.
But Vincent Price will not come to be the Invisible Man.
And certainly not in the Invisible Man movie with Abbott and Costello.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was kind of strange. I love Vincent Price. Maybe they couldn't afford him.
And he would have been really good with comedy, I think.
Oh, he's hilarious. I mean, he's so... I don't know. There's something about Vincent Price's screen presence. Just seems to me to be just evil and funny.
Yep, yep.
A little bit like Jack Nicholson, but a lot more evil. You know, Jack Nicholson when he was, you know, like 85 years ago, Jack Nicholson.
What ever happened to Jack Nicholson?
I don't know. Is he still around?
Got hit by an ice cream, alive, so. But certainly he's not working.
How is he alive, though?
How was Keith Richards still alive? How did Charlie Watts die first?
How is Prince dead, but, you know, Prince is dead from having, like, some Ativan or something like that. And, yeah, like, Keith Richards is like, yeah, whatever.
You got to know how's to take it, man.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson was born in 37. So that makes him...
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, how old does that make him? Like
80.
No, more than
no.
That.
No.
84, 84. 84.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, Nicholson, you know, I wonder how long he's going to be with us.
Probably not very.
Well, I'm just going to IMDb right now, because we bring up a name, we have to talk about it. Ooh, we should do Little Shop of Horrors.
Which one?
The one with him, duh.
Oh, I thought... the musical by Frank Oz.
Little Shop
of Horrors.
Great soundtrack.
Little Shop.
What a soundtrack. I don't know if you've seen that movie recently.
The musical one?
Well, the one with Rick Moranis, I think, is in it.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
It's pretty good. I mean, it holds up. Steve Martin's in it, which is funny. He plays the dentist.
Which is the role Nicholson had.
Guess how many years it's been since Nicholson had a film. You're not going to believe this.
Wait. I don't know, like early 2000s.
Well, 2010 was the last one.
Oh, what was it?
How do you know? But the only one on here that I kind of recognize that I've heard of is The Bucket List, which from what I understand was terrible, 2007.
It's so bad, I love it.
Oh, really? It's like a bunch of old guys doing like bucket list stuff, right?
And their bucket list is go to all these foreign exotic locales. And it's always CGI. They didn't go anywhere. It's all done on a stage with CGI. So if they're in, Egypt, you know, the pyramids are all CGI'd in. They it's so phony looking.
Now, the last relevant movie that I've seen here that I think is relevant anyway is 2006's The Departed. Where, oddly enough, if you're sitting, I hope you're sitting down, he plays a character named Costello. Dun, dun, dun.
And he was good in that. He was good in that.
Wow, we have a lot of thunder here. You heard that?
Yep.
Wow.
Someone's, like, using that lightning to revive the Frankenstein monster.
Seriously, holy cow. Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Christopher, thank you very much for getting together for this episode. I think we should finish it before I lose all my power.
All right.
Check us out, VHSRewind.com. You can come and subscribe to the podcast. Look us up on Facebook. And we're going to keep on putting out these kind of...
Horror movies.
This one was a little difficult to review, in my opinion. But the next one, what is the next one?
Halloween 3?
Oh. That's going to be good.
We got a lot to talk about on that one.
Yeah, definitely. You know what? We need a conventional horror movie, but I think doing these just classics are just wonderful. But thank you for doing it.